Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom.
It's our news watch, but it's also our all English unit. So we will not be listening to our Chinese teacher today, at least on this particular program. And we will both try to speak a little bit more slowly and clearly and not use any Chinese. So, or Spanish or French. Hopefully we'll just stick with our English here. We've got two news stories today. One is emoji, those funny little characters that stand for different emotions, like, you know, I'm happy. There are emojis with, and emoji can be, we'll talk about that in a minute. Emoji can be singular or countable. It's okay if you say emojis for the plural form, but our article uses the plural form is emoji, which is also correct. But they can be very different. That's the first one we're going to talk about, how these emoji got involved in a court case. And I must say, I disagreed with the court's judgment, what they decided in the end, but that's not a surprise. What's the next story, Tom?
Well, the story after that is all about something called plant-based leather. Okay, you might have problems with leather. I used to have leather garments, and they do kind of grow mold and things like that.
Here, so in Taiwan, yeah.
Yes, so maybe plant-based leather could be the solution there. And also, if you're a vegan and you don't want to use animal products, this might be a choice for you. This would be artificial leather or maybe something like vinyl or whatever. But in this particular case, it's plant-based, which might get rid of some of the problems with mold and mildew and things like that. So we'll find out what this is all about. Everybody, let's start reading and listen to the first article right now, followed by the second article. Emoji in spotlight as farmer faces hefty fine. In Saskatchewan, Canada, a legal case showed that a thumbs-up emoji might be seen as a digital commitment. A farmer named Chris Octor received a contract message for purchasing flax, to which he replied with a thumbs-up emoji. However, after Mr. Octor didn't deliver the promised goods, the buyer initiated legal action. At the trial, Mr. Octor claimed that his emoji response was just a sign he had received the message, not an agreement. Despite his defense, the court ordered him to pay a fine of $82,000, around $2 million NT dollars. Justice Keene ruled that a thumbs-up emoji can signal an agreement, just like a digital signature. Citing dictionary.com, he pointed out that the gesture conveys approval or encouragement in digital contexts. While traditional signatures serve as standard proofs, Keene highlighted that in today's context, emoji could potentially act as digital confirmation. As a result, Octor was forced to honor the contract. In today's digital age, this case reminds us to approach online communications with caution to avoid unexpected legal consequences.
Scientists pioneer advanced plant-based leather. Traditional leather, often derived from animal skins, is highly valued in fashion, but brings up ethical and environmental concerns. Furthermore, damage to these luxury items is upsetting because of the high cost of leather materials. However, these issues might be addressed with the introduction of self-healing leather made from mycelium. Mycelium is a thread-like structure that thrives underground during mushroom growth, drawing nutrients from rotting materials such as logs. While the concept of mycelium leather isn't novel, previous methods of production blocked fungal development. Bioengineer Elise Elsacker and her team grew mycelium in a nutrient-rich environment containing proteins and carbohydrates. Through this method, the spores on the mycelium remain functional. They can be prompted to regenerate by soaking them in the initial nutrient solution, ensuring the leather retains its self-healing property. This pioneering plant-based leather is still in experimental phases, as there's a need to improve its toughness and control spore expansion to prevent unplanned fungal growth. Still, It shows potential for market introduction in the near future. Okay, guys, let's look at the first news article here. Here's our headline. That's what we call titles in news stories or in the newspaper. Nowadays, it's kind of hard to even find a lot of magazines that are published or newspapers, although we still have some here in Taiwan. But if you see a headline, that's the title of a news story, and it'll often be an incomplete sentence. So sometimes it'll be missing some words, but it's just to save space. Nowadays, it doesn't really matter if you're online how much space or room you take. But here, our headline is emoji, and that is a plural form of emoji, those cute little characters. Emoji in spotlight, people are focused in on it as farmer faces hefty fine. If something's hefty, it's big, it's large, and here we're talking about a fine. A fine is something you get when you do not follow a regulation that your government has set up or a particular institution has set up. And we're going to find out what happened in court for a farmer who lost the case in court.
Right, so this is all about emoji. Again, those little symbols that you can add to your messages that make them more interesting or cuter. They're not like stickers, which come with line. You have to use their free ones, or you can buy some yourself, have these various stickers to send people. But emoji are the common little faces, a smiley face, a thumbs up, etc. And they're in the spotlight. They are under scrutiny. They're getting people's attention as this farmer in Saskatchewan, Canada, faces a hefty or a really big fine. Now, this again is happening in Saskatchewan. That's where one of our former writers was actually from. I think he was from Saskatoon, actually. And in this place in Canada, a legal case showed that a thumbs up emoji might be seen as a digital commitment. So a digital commitment means that you are saying yes to something, and that would be legal. That's what a commitment is. You make a commitment to accept a job or to get married. Those are different ways of making a commitment. And here, if you send somebody a thumbs up emoji, especially if you're talking about business, hey, it could be an obligation to fulfill your end of the deal.
Yeah, remember, this is in Canada. They have different laws than a lot of countries do. So we have a farmer whose name was, we're just going to call him Chris. His last name is Archer.
Octer,
kind of different. Sounds good. Yeah, he received a contract message. Remember, this is a message, not exactly a contract, paper contract you get in the mail. For purchasing something called flax. Flax is a plant, and flax can be used to make clothes or some sort of textile. But you can also eat flax, and it's quite healthy for you, just in case you didn't know that. So he received a contract message, they're calling it, to which he replied with a thumbs up emoji. Now, if I were online and I got a contract message and I responded with a thumbs up, I wouldn't assume that that contract is complete because I haven't actually said it vocally. I haven't signed my name anywhere. A thumbs up is just sort of a, you know, that looks good, let's talk about it sort of thing for me. I'm not surprised because right now farmers in Canada are sort of being hassled or harassed, so I'm not surprised. This farmer thought, well, it wasn't complete. He just thought it was, you know, I'm showing you that that looks good, let's continue talking about this. But after Mr. Octer. Such a weird
name. It'd be nice to call him Archer. That's a common surname, but this is a weird surname.
It is.
And yes, indeed. He, I guess, wanted to buy some flax.
Yeah.
And
he wanted to sell some flax.
He wanted to sell some flax. So he's a farmer. He grows flax there. And he replied with a thumbs up emoji. However, Mr. Archer, or Mr. Octer, did not deliver the promised goods. Mm. So after he failed to deliver the promised goods, the buyer initiated legal action. Hey, you gave me a thumbs up, and I think that means that you should send me that flax for the price we agreed on.
Uh-huh.
And so, hey, I haven't received it. I've been waiting and waiting, and I have not received that shipment of flax. So I'm going to take you to court. The buyer initiated or began legal action. However you do that, you file in court that somebody did something to you, and then they have to investigate it, and they have to set a trial date and all that fun stuff.
Well, at the trial, Mr. Octor claimed that his emoji response was just a sign he had received the message. That's what I would have assumed as well.That was his response to this legal action. He was being sued in court. So despite his defense, your defense is your reason that you come up with to say, hey, I'm not at fault. I didn't do anything wrong. This is the reason why I did what I did. That's his defense. Sometimes we'll have a defense where we talk about defending our own country. Your defense might be your army or your navy, things like that, the defense. Well, here he's in court and he's defending himself against a lawsuit from the guy who wanted to buy his flag. So despite his defense, or even though he had this excuse or good reason, the court ordered him to pay a fine of $82,000, which is a lot of money just for a misunderstanding, I would say. If I were trying to defend him, if I were his lawyer, I would say, hey, we need to have this on as a law that our Congress or our parliament passes before this can be law. But nowadays, courts are just making up laws depending on who's in front of them. It's kind of a scary thing. And he was ordered to pay a really big fine, $2 million NT dollars.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And of course, the judge in the case, Justice Keene, he ruled that a thumbs up emoji can signal an agreement just like a digital signature. So that's what he ruled. That's what he decided. Yes, a thumbs up emoji is saying yes to an agreement just like a digital signature or a standard signature on a document where you actually hold a pen and actually write something with ink. I don't know if people still do that anymore. But again,
they do.
Okay, that's actually what I prefer. But I don't know. Everything's going digital these days. And citing dictionary.com, he indicated that the gesture conveys approval or encouragement in digital contexts. So here to cite, that just means you note something, you point something out, you mention something as a reference. So here he cited dictionary.com. He pointed out some information from this particular website. And he said, well, this gesture, the emoji, the thumbs up emoji, conveys approval or encouragement, at least if you're in a digital context. The context is basically the environment that you're in, the circumstances, and in this particular case, they're sending messages back and forth to each other, so that's the context there. It might be a different context if it's, say, a written contract or something like that, or an oral agreement or whatever. Those are different contexts, different kinds of situations.
Yeah, I wanted to mention here, gesture is some sort of sign that you usually use with your body. You gesture with your finger, your head, different ways like that. Convey means just to, you make something known to somebody, something that they can understand. Here, if the dictionary.com, who cares what the dictionary says? What is the law in Canada would be my defense as an attorney. We've never passed a law about this, so you can't rule on this, judge. So he cited something in dictionary.com that really doesn't ever say that. If it conveys approval, you know, you could say, I like that. Doesn't mean you agree to a contract. Or if your emoji means encouragement, still doesn't mean that you've agreed to a contract. So I thought this was a crazy decision, but I'm not surprised. So while traditional signatures would be things we're used to that we've seen done in the past, these signatures serve as standard proofs. Keene, that judge or justice, as they call him, highlighted that in today's context, in today's world, emoji could potentially act as digital confirmation. Notice here again, emoji, and the second half of this sentence is a plural. So emojis could, emoji could. You can use an S if you like that. As a result, Octor was forced to honor the contract. The digital contract that he never signed. Poor Chris, the farmer, had to go ahead and pay for the contract. He probably had attorney's fees. He had to pay, you know, to even go to court and defend himself, which isn't fair either. But in today's digital age, this case reminds us to approach online communications with caution to avoid unexpected legal consequences. There's a legal show I listen to. It's a podcast every Monday morning in Taiwan that goes over the most important cases happening, at least mainly in the United States. And it talks about how our world is changing so fast that a lot of this law hasn't even been passed yet. And you're still having to go and defend yourself in court. So you better be extra cautious if you're doing business online. That would be my piece of advice for everyone.
Yep, it's a reminder in today's digital age that we need to approach online communications with caution. You need to be careful. You need to approach them with care, with caution, to avoid unexpected legal consequences. So, yeah, don't send those thumbs up videos or those thumbs up emojis if you're not really sure if you want to agree to the contract.
Okay.
Try to be as vague as you possibly can. Okay, that brings us to the end of the first article for today. Let's move on now to the second one. But before we do, we're going to take a break. But stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Now let's move on to our second news story in our NewsWatch unit for the month of March. The title is, or the headline is, Scientists Pioneer Advanced Plant-Based Leather. So here, pioneer is being used as a verb. That just means you come out with a new idea or a new product. As a noun, a pioneer could be somebody who travels to a new place and they set up their homes there. They establish a society or whatever. But here, pioneer is being used as a verb. They just have come up with this new idea, and it's all about plant-based leather, leather that actually can be made from plants.
It's interesting because with the way that we can transport ourselves anywhere around the earth or the world, we don't use pioneer much for people who go to a brand new spot on planet Earth and set up, establish a home, a residence. Now we're using it more and more for a science or technology where these people are the first to research or develop some sort of new area of knowledge or technique. These guys are advancing plant-based leather. As Tom said at the beginning, a lot of the leather products here in Taiwan easily get ruined because of the humidity in Taiwan. Leather and humidity just don't go together very well. I thought it was bad in New York City until I moved to Taiwan. It was like, oh, you really can't have leather here. So if you don't use something a lot, like I have a book with a leather cover. If I don't use it quite often, it starts developing that mold on it, which is green, and it smells bad. You can clean it. Yes, you can. But, this isn't the place to wear a leather jacket. I took all of my leather coats home, gave them to my sisters. I don't have any leather clothes here anymore. But this group of scientists, they're working on plant-based leather. I think one thing is great about it is that it won't develop the mold. But there are other issues with this. Let's talk about what this is, actually.
Okay, here's the first paragraph of our news story. It says, traditional leather, often derived from animal skins, like from cattle and things like that, is highly valued in fashion, but brings up ethical and environmental concerns. So yes, a lot of clothing items are made from leather. It can be quite fashionable, but it also brings up or introduces these concerns or these worries about ethics and about the environment. Ethical means whether it's the right thing to do. Should you be making leather from animals? And then we've got environmental concerns. Is raising cattle for leather good for the environment or not? And, of course, we're also talking about the problems of mildew and mold.
Yeah.
If I got those words right.
Yeah, mildew and mold. Yuck, they smell terrible. So, furthermore, damage to these luxury items. Say you have a jacket that's damaged. I have some boots that I forgot to take care of better during the winter.
Oh, no.
And then I wanted to wear them the other day, and they've got spots all over them. I took them to get fixed at a shoe store here, a shoe shop, a shoe repair guy. And he said, sorry, you've ruined these forever.
Too late. Yep.
Too late. So, yeah. And they cost a lot of money if they're, you know, the long leather boots. So be careful, ladies and guys out there. It's upsetting because of the high cost of leather materials. Sometimes they can't repair them either. However, these problems might be addressed or talked about with the introduction of self-healing leather made from mycelium. This is an interesting idea, self-healing. So perhaps your leather gets a stain on it. This self-healing leather supposedly can fix itself.
Mm-hmm, right. Mycelium is a kind of part of a fungus, actually. I'm not a science teacher here. This is not a chemistry class, folks.
But no.
Basically, it's just some kind of chemical here. And it's a thread-like structure that thrives underground during mushroom growth, drawing nutrients from rotting materials such as logs.
Ew.
So there you go. That's what mycelium is. It's a structure or a substance that has little threads, maybe like fibers or something like
that.
And it thrives underground. If something thrives, it lives quite well. For example, maybe you have a dead-end job down in Nanto or something like that, so you decide to move to Taichung, and you can thrive in your career. Maybe it's a medical career or a business or whatever. You can thrive. You can do quite well.
Hey, Tom, talk about what dead end is. That's great.
Dead end. Well, sometimes that refers to roads that do not continue on. You call them dead roads here in Taiwan. We say dead ends. Well, this is a dead end street.
Uh-huh.
But here, a dead end just means you're not going anywhere. You have a dead end job, for example, maybe in a convenience store, and you've done it for a while, but you'd like to move on. So you can't really get any more promotions. You've gone as high up the ladder as you can. So you want to thrive in the big city.
Yeah, so this mycelium, as Tom said, is like having little fibers that connect together. And if you thrive, you do very well somewhere. Maybe you weren't doing very well at one school, and then your parents put you into a new school, and you seem to thrive. You did very well there. So you can use thrive to talk about actual growth of plants and animals, or people, how we do better in certain situations. Well, this particular thread-like structure thrives underground during mushroom growth, and it draws nutrients from rotting materials such as logs. So interesting that it would be fed by something that most of us considers just a mess because it's rotting, it's kind of destroyed. Rotting is old food. Sometimes if you've had food too long, it starts smelling bad. You want to throw it away. Nutrients here are things that help you grow. It could be minerals, vitamins. It could be protein, things like that, fats that we need. Well, this draws nutrients from things that most of us would think are bad, like rotting logs. Well, the concept of mycelium leather isn't new or novel. That's what novel means. Previous methods of production blocked fungal development. Aha.
Aha! So indeed, here we've got the word fungal, which means it has to do with a fungus. And a fungus is a kind of growth, and usually we think of fungus as being something like mushrooms or yeast or things like that.
Uh-huh.
And so this has to do with leather here. And in the next paragraph here, it says, Bioengineer Elise Elsacker and her team grew mycelium in a nutrient-rich environment containing proteins and carbohydrates. So this is a bioengineer, somebody who designs things that have to do with biology, mm-hmm. or with things that have to do with life here. So, of course, she had a team here, other people working with her, and they used a nutrient-rich environment, an environment that had lots of minerals and proteins and stuff like that.
And carbs, yeah.
And carbs, indeed. It was a nutrient-rich environment. And yes, indeed, again, it contained proteins and carbohydrates. Notice here, protein and carbohydrate can be singular, but we're adding S's here to make them plural, like proteins are different kinds of protein. They're all based on amino acids. You probably learned that in your chemistry class in high school. And carbohydrates, of course, are things that we consume in our diet. They come from like rice and bread and noodles and things like that.
Okay, so we've got proteins, carbohydrates. We've got the spores on the mycelium. A spore is a very tiny, tiny, usually a one-celled reproductive unit that, you know, has something to do with the fungi or fungi that is often associated with mushrooms, too. So these, through this method of giving it that nutrient-rich environment, the spores on the mycelium remain functional. They keep their function. If you're functional, you are able to do what you're supposed to do. Maybe you have a piece of kitchen equipment that's no longer functional. It means it doesn't work anymore. So you can get rid of it or get it fixed. But if it is functional, whatever purpose or tasks it was supposed to accomplish, it still can. It has that function.
Indeed.
Yeah, so it still works. It's still growing even after they put it into this piece of leather.
That sounds like really good news that it keeps working, keeps growing there. It can be functional. And then they can be prompted to regenerate by soaking them in the initial nutrient solution, ensuring the leather retains its self-healing property. Now, we're English teachers here. I don't know about you, Stephanie, but I just took high school chemistry, and this is very technical to me. So let's just talk about the words here. To regenerate just means to recreate, and these can be regenerated if you soak them in the initial or the beginning nutrient solution. So you put them in this mixture, this liquid, and you soak them there. You leave them in there for quite some time, and that will ensure that the leather retains or keeps its self-healing property. In other words, it keeps its ability to reproduce itself.
Kind of creepy, though. I think of lizards sometimes when I think of this regenerating property. If they lose like their tail, they can regrow it, some of these lizards. So you're keeping something that's still alive, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means, and I don't think they've tested it enough. I was reading about these plant-based leather companies. There are six around the world, and that's one of the issues that people still aren't sure about. So be careful. We're changing our world very quickly, so make sure that you know what you're getting. This pioneering plant-based leather is still in experimental phases, meaning it hasn't been tested for long, so we're not really sure how long it lasts and what these self-healing properties can lead to eventually. If it's experimental, they're still performing experiments on it, right? So it's not something that has fully been tested. It's still being tested if it's in that experimental phase. Phase is just a stage of something, as there's a need to improve its toughness, how strong it can be, and control spore expansion. Now, the spore expansion is what I'm kind of a little bit leery of, a little bit worried about. If you're leery of something, you're a little bit cautious. You don't know what you're going to find. I'm not sure what that's going to lead to, because they want to prevent unplanned fungal growth. What if something just starts taking off and it's in your office and before you know it, it's taken over your office? I don't know. I can imagine it can grow pretty fast if given the right nutrients.
Right. Still, it shows potential for market introduction in the near future.
Yeah.
So, yes, indeed, it does show this potential. It could actually be widespread on the market within a couple of years or so. And if you're into leather and you're sick of cleaning your leather all the time, then maybe this would be something you'd be interested in.
Look for eco leather. They also call it vegan leather. I know Taiwan because I've done a video for them. Taiwan has companies that are making these sort of vegan leather shoes, which have been quite popular.
Okay, well, I don't really use leather that much myself, so this probably isn't too big a concern for me, except I think my shoes...
What are your tennis shoes made out of?
I got a pair of Fila, and I think they're probably made of leather, but I didn't check. But they're painted over, so they're probably not going to, you know, start growing mold or something like that. I'm not terribly concerned about this. Okay, that brings us to the end of today's lesson, and thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully, you have been informed by these news stories. I know I have, and we'll talk about some more in the future. From all of us here at English Digest, my name is Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Bye.
Bye.